You killed the Doctor, on the orders of the movement known as the Silence and Academy of the Question. You accept and know this to be true?
Quite honestly, I don't really remember. It was all a bit of a jumble.
No! No! Get off me!
Sorry?
Did you say she killed the Doctor? The Doctor? Doctor Who?
Welcome to Two Guys, a Girl in the Podcast. Today we're going to be talking about Doctor Who. We're actually talking about an episode called Let's Kill Hitler, which sounds like it would be very promising. Before we get started, I am Ken.
Julia.
Annie.
And before we get started, we'll talk a little bit about Doctor Who news. I guess the series, the next season, the new season that's coming out, will be out in May. So we don't have too long to wait. This year is going by fast.
There's no exact date, though, which is a little frustrating.
Yeah. I saw a video on YouTube. I think it's Who Culture is pretty good with this stuff. And they had a breakdown of what month or what week they thought it might be, because there's stuff happening, like there's a big soccer match or something. So it may not happen on that day. It might be up against something on another date or whatever. So they kind of had it narrowed down to, I think it was like the second or third week or something. But
but
that's just a bunch of fans sitting around going, oh, it could be this. And I guess it's supposed to be on earlier, but I guess they've been working on the special effects, so it's been delayed a little bit to May. So So it should be interesting. I think it'll be a very important season, because I think we need a win. We need a season that can be fairly a lot better than the last few that we've had. So,
and hopefully draw new viewers.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if it's going to do that or not, because I don't think we'll see. We can go on with that, but
let's remain cautiously optimistic for now.
Okay.
That's my motto for life.
And, so that's it. All I have for Doctor Who News. Has anybody been watching or reading anything of interest?
I've been watching Criminal Record on Apple TV, starring Peter Capaldi.
Oh, I started that too.
He's surprisingly menacing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just the way he'll say an ordinary line that on the surface seems like he's helping the other police woman or person. But you know the intent behind it, and the way he delivers it, you can sort of feel the menace behind it, even though if someone was just listening, they wouldn't pick up on it. And it's just a masterful delivery to me.
I totally agree. I've been watching that too. I'm only on like episode 3, and I had to pause watching it because I was like, I don't know if I can take Peter Capaldi as the bad guy. Like, he's really good as the bad guy. Like, very convincing. Plus, I love Cush Jumbo. I think she's a great actor.
Oh, yes. I wasn't familiar with her work before this or anything, but she's very good.
She was in Vera for a while. And I've seen her in other things that I can't remember off the top of my head. But I really like her. And the two of them play really well off of each other.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it is like, oh, dude, you are gonna just do something really, really bad, and I'm gonna be really angry with you. And
there's just so much tension, and this isn't a series I can binge. I have to watch one episode at a time and kind of let it settle after that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, it's very good. It's very good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it shows Peter Capaldi's range. So
yes.
Well, I feel watching Peter Capaldi, and I like him as a doctor a lot. I wish he had gotten better stories. Mm-hmm. I felt that he was kind of sinister in playing the doctor. He had he was funny, but he also had some moments where he was just kind of, I can kind of see him being a bad guy.
Maybe it's because, you know, we all know the doctor, and even though each iteration of the doctor has slightly different quirks, we know basically he's there for good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And in this this show, it's pretty clear he's not the good guy.
Yeah.
Well, I like, think he wants there's to been... mess up this woman's career.
There's been some other Doctor actors that have played bad guys. I think Tom Baker's been in a couple of movies where he was the bad guy, and it's kind of weird to watch it after, you know, and who else would have been a bad guy? Christopher Eccleston's played a couple of bad guys. I don't know if David Tennant has, but obviously Matt Smith.
Yeah, and, Jessica Jones.
Yeah, Jessica Jones.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and it's kind of difficult to watch it. And he just plays this really, he's a, you know, pretty bad guy in that. And, you know, Matt Smith to a degree in the House of Dragons is pretty ruthless. Yeah. So, so it is.
David Tennant did that show Dez. I don't know if you saw it.
No.
He was portraying a real life serial killer. Man, he was creepy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Creepy.
And didn't Matt Smith portray a serial killer on stage in something?
Who?
Possibly. Matt Smith.
Matt Smith.
I don't know. Oh. Yeah, the last what was that movie called? I just watched it like 6 months ago. It was a movie. it was a movie.
Okay.
I gotta narrow it down to a movie here. Last Night in Soho.
Oh.
Okay, haven't seen it.
Well, I mean, and I'm gonna say that he plays someone that could be a serial killer.
Oh, okay.
So I'm not gonna give away any more than that, but. Mm-hmm. Because I don't want to spoil anything, but it's a pretty good movie, and he's pretty good at it, and he's kind of sinister. He's a kind of jerk in it, you know. And but anyways, okay. So one of these days I'll get Apple TV because there's a lot of good recommendations.
There really is a lot of good stuff on there.
Yeah, I'll have to get it for 6 months and just binge watch everything that's out. Okay, so let's talk Hitler. Let's go kill Hitler. Let's go kill Chibnall. I mean, let's go kill Hitler. Okay. Oh, sorry. I just had to.
You know, we just like, can't we get through one episode without bringing him up?
No.
Okay.
Okay. So this is after a break in the season. This is the returning episode. But it's sort of a continuation of the previous one, which was Good Man Goes to War. And what did you guys think of this episode?
Yeah. It's definitely not my favorite. I thought parts of it were good. I thought a lot of it was bad.
It bothered me more in the second viewing than it did the first time I saw it. There are things that just really stood out to me that interrupted the episode or distracted me from the episode for a bit, which I'll talk to you later. But there were parts of it that I did like. So
I'm going to say, I don't think this has ever happened in any of the Doctor Who episodes I've watched, that I remember not liking this episode at all, and I kind of liked it this time.
Oh,
I went in the opposite direction. I don't know why. Because I went into this episode going, oh, God. And there's some stuff that bothered me, but I'm like, wow, there's actually some good stuff in this. And I don't know if it's because I'm, you know, used to not good stories recently by someone. And then we're going back and watching episodes that but Good Man Goes to War I still didn't like. Mm-hmm. There are elements of it I liked. Maybe I didn't like it as much as you guys, but I didn't like that episode. I like this one better.
Okay.
So it's still very convoluted. It's still very rushed, but it didn't have as many characters in it. And for some reason, I got it this time. I feel like I got the humor of it. I think one of the things that bothered me right out of the bat was Mel's. Mm. The character of Mel's drove me up the wall.
I liked Mel's. I liked her energy. I liked that she was kind of chaotic, and I like who she that she ended up being the raised by Rory and Amy in a way.
Well, I think by the time the end of the story, it made more sense, and that's what Stephen Moffat does. He creates a confusing situation for you, but by the end of the story, if it's a good one, mm-hmm. it'll make sense. Now, he hasn't done that much since he took over for the show, but he used to do it quite a bit in Russell T. Davis. So with this, it starts to make sense toward the end. And I'm like, why is she acting so nonchalant about the TARDIS? And as soon as she gets to back in time, she just like acts like she's done this forever. And there's got to be, I don't know why she would know all that stuff, unless there was some sort of embedded memory or something, but she's the baby that grew up to be River Song. Spoilers. Mm-hmm. And I also didn't like the fact that all of a sudden they had a best mate that we have never heard of before. And they even said it, how come you were not at the wedding? I don't do weddings. So obviously it's a character that they added later down the line, obviously. But right. I think the initial viewing of this, it was very hard for me to buy into that and to that character, how she would be like that. But after watching the second time, maybe I understood that there was some sort of embedded thing in her that made her, she's going to kill the doctor. And it's like, why didn't you kill him in this crop circles and all this? There's a lot of things that were hard to stomach to get to where we were, to get to the answer. And there's a lot of that in this season where it's just like, we have to take this and this to get to this. And it's like, if we don't get that, then how do we get, you know, whatever. But
I mean, at least on this viewing, it made sense as to why she had all that, because of the whole brainwashing, the indoctrination that she had. When she became River, it was kind of, I guess the TARDIS knew it was coming because the TARDIS told her how to fly it.
Yeah.
But so. how did she wind up on Earth? She was taken by Eye Patch Lady there, and they never left with a baby. Like, how did she wind up on Earth?
I don't think that was ever explained. She was just a toddler in New York and stuff. And
well wait a minute. The Patch Lady had the baby at the end of the last episode.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because Amy and Rory had the fake baby that melted away. Isn't there an episode where we see someone transporting in an alleyway in New York City?
We see her regenerating in the alleyway.
Mm.
When did that happen?
Later. I don't even know if that was in New York or not.
Oh.
I just remember it was an alley in a city. But again, there's no explanation of how she got there.
Who was regenerating?
River Song. She wasn't River at that point, but Melody Pond.
But the same actress? I mean, she regenerates into River
Song. No, it's a different girl.
Yeah.
She's but a when girl, did we see and that? I think is she's that, white.
That later?
I think she is, with long hair, if I recall.
Yeah.
But when do we see that?
I don't remember when she comes up. I think she might be in a Capaldi episode.
I don't think it's a Capaldi episode. She's wearing the spacesuit for a long time, even as a girl.
Mm.
Okay.
And then she somehow gets out of it and gets to New York, and then she regenerates in New York because she's dying as a kid, which is very sad. No one seems to care about that. But
Well, I think what happens is the Patch Lady puts the baby the child and puts her with Amy and Rory so that they grow up together so that she will eventually meet the doctor.
But she had a regeneration before that.
Yeah.
So how did she get out before? Did she just escape? Maybe she escaped from the Patch Lady. It's never really addressed as far as I can remember.
She must have, because you know, the whole point of having River Song was to train her up to kill the Doctor.
Yes.
So why let her live with Rory and Amy when they are, you know, fans of the Doctor?
Because that's how she'll get to the Doctor. If you dump her with Rory and Amy, eventually the Doctor will come, and then she can kill him.
Oh, yeah, okay.
How's that for a theory?
I think that's a good enough theory. So I think the thing that bothered me about this episode initially was they go to kill Hitler, and the story goes completely different. Like, Hitler's not even an important part of the story or whatever. But I got to get that now, and I think it's kind of funny that he ends up in they just throw him in a closet, and that's the end of it. We don't see him again.
Yeah.
Which I think is really funny. I think at the time it bothered me because it's like I wanted more Nazi and Hitler stuff. But that's not the story. It was something different.
Yeah, this is supposed to be a funny episode, is my understanding.
Yeah.
I think I thought it was funnier when I first saw it. But I want to get to the part where she becomes River Song and she is at the restaurant trying all that clothing. She wears a Nazi jacket. And she wears the Nazi jacket for the rest of the episode. And for me, it's not necessary for her to wear that. When she was interacting with the Doctor while she was wearing it, it was like somebody was shouting Nazi, Nazi, Nazi at me during the scene. And I think that was unnecessary. It wasn't funny to me. Maybe I'm being too sensitive, but I just found it very distracting from what was supposed to be a poignant scene with the Doctor and falling in love with him and everything. Instead, she dressed like a Nazi while doing it.
I didn't even catch that.
Yeah, I'm looking at the uniform right now, or I'm trying to, but it's all blurry.
At least I assume it's a Nazi uniform. I'm not really familiar with them, but she was in Germany. It wouldn't be like a British uniform, so.
Yeah, I don't see a very prominent Nazi logo on it. I don't know if there was German military outfits that were not Nazi. I'm not that familiar with it.
They were branches of the military, but they were all Nazi uniforms.
It wouldn't have bothered me as much as she was just wearing without the jacket and wearing that skimpy thing underneath, you know, or even like a fur coat or something. But I just felt like it was distracting me from anything else that was going on in the scene because it wasn't necessary. So, given that Nazis have such a loaded history, I know you're trying to be funny, but it just was just distracting to me. Maybe it's just me.
Well, I mean, you know, over the last few years, or a bunch of years, probably 30, 40 years or whatever, Nazi and Hitler have been sort of like a brunt of jokes. There's the Fawlty Towers episode, there's other things. And I don't know, there's a desensitization. I think, you know, this is supposed to be a funny episode, and I get what you're saying, but we also see Hitler, who did these horrible things, and he's a comedy relief in this episode. He kind of goes, "Hey, what's going on?" And then Roy punches him into the cupboard, and it's kind of a joke. Now, I don't know what you thought about that.
That did seem funny to me, and I'm not saying this is a rational reaction or anything, but I just felt like it was. I mean, that part is, if the episode's called "Let's Kill Hitler," you need to have Hitler in it. I'm glad they treated him as kind of a joke and everything. But I felt that it didn't add anything to the plot to have her dress as a Nazi when she's having this emotional scene with the Doctor. So it was like an unnecessary reference for me.
But the Nazi logo is in the background, so they could have easily had her wearing something else and then still have that Nazi logo in the background. But, you know, yeah, I can see your point.
It could be irrational, but it just, that's what I noticed this time. Yeah.
So. I kind of like the crop circle stuff at the beginning, where that's a way to signal the Doctor.
I liked the whole robot thing. I don't know why I liked that. Maybe because I have a fondness for that cheesy movie Inner Space, but I liked that.
This whole robot thing becomes important later on in the season, obviously. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was kind of a neat concept. I don't know where they came from. We never see them before. I don't think we ever see them again. So it's kind of weird. And they're about ready to kill Hitler. They're like, oh, we're too early. And it's like, who is this? You know? And I love the concept that they don't kill people. They take them out of their timeline right before they die and torture them, which is pretty neat. It reminded me of what, someone else did that. They take someone out of time right before they're ready to die.
The Weeping Angels.
Yeah, I don't remember, but it's kind of a neat idea.
Did the crew make anyone else think of Star Trek?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard not to when you've got like a, whatever you call that there, the deck where they all sit.
Yes. I thought that was kind of cute.
Yeah, it was cute. And I liked the little jellyfish guys that came around and just sort of zapped you.
Yes.
It sort of reminded me vaguely of WALL-E.
Oh, okay.
The little jellyfish guys did.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the cool effect when the robot changes bodies is pretty cool. I like that.
Yes.
When it kind of changes in, I think that's really good.
I like that Amy had rights as a family, as yep. being part of the family. I thought that was an interesting concept. It shows there's like a whole legal system behind this.
I do like the title of this because it also sets it up that it's not as serious, because it's kind of like, hey, and I like how she just delivers the line, let's go kill Hitler, because it's like, we have a time machine, why not, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And, you know. It's kind of neat, but
I mean, isn't that what everybody wants to do? Isn't that like that's like the big thing, answer?
Yeah.
If you have a time machine, go kill Hitler.
Prevent some disaster like 9/11 or something, or go kill Hitler, or mm-hmm. do something, you know, to make the world better or whatever.
Yeah.
You mentioned the delivery of that line. I really like Nina to, and I'm not sure how to pronounce her name, to Toussaint White. I like her performance in this as Mills.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She's chaotic. But I like how she's just like, no. She seems like she would regenerate into River Song. You know?
Yes.
Yeah. I love the flashback stuff where they're, Mal's and Amy are in the their room, and then Rory comes in and says, hey, I thought we were playing hide and seek. And they're like, oh, we forgot all about you. He's been there for hours.
You know? Poor Rory.
Yes.
And
then Amy thinks he's gay.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good moment. I like that, where they like figure it out or whatever. And it's like, you guys don't know, you know?
Yeah.
Again, I don't know why this character would know that they're her parents. I mean, she keeping this a secret the whole time. How does she come about that information? Because she was a baby growing up, and it's almost like we feel like we're missing something, unless.
Well, we're missing a lot about River Song.
Yeah.
In general.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. And I mean, she's gone. You know, she's not going to be in it anymore. But I do feel like there's a lot of backstory we didn't get.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, this episode's really important to her character, because she gets things come kind of full circle. For the first time, the doctor meets her where she doesn't know who she, well, not the first time. Well, is it it might be the first time.
I think it is. Yeah.
But she just regenerates, and then she gets the journal at the end. And I mean, she starts having regenerations. It's like, oh my God, she's a time lord. But then she uses up all her regenerations on to keep the doctor alive. So I think I liked all that this time more than I did last time. It just mm-hmm. made more sense to me. This story made more sense than the last one, and there's still some issues with it, but I think I had a better time with this episode. I was more emotionally involved in it.
Speaking of emotions, I really liked the doctor and the voice control in the TARDIS was showing the past companions and the guilt.
When was that?
When he was dying in the TARDIS, he needed to talk to the TARDIS instead of using the buttons. They had holograms
yeah.
of Rose and Martha and Donna.
Yep. Yeah. And then we get to see little Amy again.
Yes.
I love that girl who plays young Amy. She's just so cute. I love her.
Yeah.
We were talking about how getting old and stuff a few minutes ago, and she's an adult now, you know, that little girl. Yeah.
I don't know if she lives in America, but she's always at that Doctor Who restaurant down in New York. She's always Pandorica. She's always making appearances down there, like special guest appearances and stuff. She's always down there. I don't know if she lives in the area or whatever, but she's Karen Gillan's niece.
Oh, they're related? I didn't know that.
Yeah, they're related.
She's a cousin. They're cousins.
Cousin, okay.
Yeah. And she's from Northern Ireland. She's not from Scotland.
Yeah. So, I like how they go to kill Hitler and then, or they actually end up saving Hitler, kind of, because the TARDIS comes in and the whole robot thing we talked about already, but I like how it could also change into a motorcycle and... You know, I don't know. I found this to be a lot more fun this time around when they're going chasing after Amy or chasing after River. And, you know, I don't know why River would go into a place and then have everyone take their clothes off. I guess she needs to try on clothes or whatever. But
because she's chaotic. She's an agent of chaos. She's a psychopath.
I guess that was okay. But
she's like the Joker, you know?
Yeah. The regeneration for Mal's, I thought was a little, I was like, oh, I was just getting used to that character. Like you just said that you like that actress and everything. And it's like, you know, and not that I don't like, what's her name? Who plays
Alex
her
Kingston?
Song?
Alex Kingston.
Yeah. It's just that I was just kind of getting used to the other character and then she just regenerates and it's like, oh, that sucks. I thought there was some really good stuff in this one. I like the regeneration scene before she says, well, you have to ask my parents or whatever, and they're right here. And, you know, that whole reveal and everything was pretty good. I think everyone sort of did a pretty good job. I like how the doctor at one now gets to say spoilers to River Song. I also like my favorite scene in this whole episode is when she's trying to kill the doctor and he has anticipated everything that she does. So she pulls a gun out and the bullets are out. So then she pulls a separate gun out, but instead it's a banana because he's moved the thing around a little bit. So now she's holding a banana against him. It just was pretty cleverly written. I mean, this is the Moffat that I like. And that's why I'm starting to like this episode more and more because of stuff like that. You know, that's clever writing. And then, of course, she kills the doctor by poisoning him.
With a kiss.
Not by guns or whatever, but by the kiss. And he's going to die. Of course, we know he's not going to. But, so that's all that stuff is pretty good. Let's see, you're still dying, blah blah blah. We've already had the episodes with the silence, right? Or have we not met them yet?
We've had them.
Okay,
pretty sure we've had them,
because I know they mentioned it a bunch of times, but my whole memory of this season is kind of all over the place because I'm watching them out of order and blah blah blah, but
I could be wrong.
Let me see.
Julia, do you remember?
I don't remember. I think it happened.
Well, because they
had four. Weren't they in the astronaut episode?
Yes.
Okay, so, but they kill the silence at the end of this season. So this is before they kill the silence, because the silence is still alive. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So let me see here. Let me try to find a list of episodes here. What season is this? Oops.
This is 2011, and they were in the 2010 series of Doctor Who.
Okay, so we have The Impossible Astronaut, Day of the Moon. There's no
Oh, no, the phrase silence will fall occurred throughout the 2010 series, but the silence were not seen until the 2011 series opener, The Impossible Astronaut.
Okay. But what episode do they die? I'm looking at these episode titles, and none of this looks familiar to me.
I don't know that they show that they die.
They just show that every time
people trip on something, it's a dead silence. I mean, they kill them by going, you know, sending that signal out and everything.
Yeah.
But
because I'm just scrolling through the next, you know, the episodes until Amy and Rory are gone, and there's no silence in any of them.
Yeah. Well, I'm a bit confused. So,
well, I mean, that's pretty standard for Moffat's episodes. I enjoyed, you know, the majority of Matt Smith's episodes. I really liked. There were a few that were sort of meh, but I found them just so confusing. You know, like when you try to think about them in a row, like as a story arc, because there obviously was a story arc, it just gets so confusing. I think there should have been more standalone episodes in
The Sounds Kill Madame Kavorian.
So it must have been in The Wedding of River Song, because that's the last one of the season. And they are in the, it says here they're in The Time of the Doctor and Revolution of Daleks, but maybe they were just mentioned. So I don't know. Other than reading everything here, I'm not going to do that.
Okay.
Yeah. But The Wedding of River Song. Yeah, whatever. There's an episode where they all get killed. And so anyways, what else do we have about this one? The sonic screwdriver is a magic wand again. So Amy's got it and she's waving it around and it's doing everything. It sets it up so they can get off everyone has to evacuate. But for some reason, she didn't know how to reverse it. So they were in trouble. The sonic is kind of like a very convenient device that continues to bother me. Every time it's used. Tell me about. I think Alex Kingston's really good in this. She really has this is probably my favorite episode of hers. She's not spoilers and running around being all cocky and everything. She really shows her stuff. She's out of her element and she's like, "Who is River? Tell me about River." And she really has some good emotion in it. And I felt emotionally this was a really good episode. Especially toward the end when they're all sort of dealing with this. I felt bad for Amy because when you have a baby, you want to raise the baby and she doesn't even get a chance to do that. It's just all of a sudden she's like, oh, by the way, it's River Song. And then she doesn't, you know, doesn't really have a good relationship with River because they don't really hang around with each other too much. A little bit, but not much.
We don't know how much they go ahead.
I don't think she trusts River.
Well, River's supposed to kill the Doctor, so how much trust can she give her right now? So,
well, but after River comes into it, that's over. By the end of the episode, she saves the Doctor, so that whole thing, that whole plan is gone, right? She doesn't...
Yeah, but even in later episodes, I feel like Amy is very, very... She's really holding back. Maybe it's not that she doesn't trust her, maybe it's that she doesn't trust her emotions.
No, maybe. I don't know.
Well, I mean, I think she's missing the relationship that she never got the chance to have. They are seen connecting as sort of a family at times, like River's over for dinner at some point in the backyard.
Right.
But you can never get back that initial relationship with a child. So that's always going to hang over them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think the Doctor finds out for the first time that he's going to get killed in Utah, because I don't think he knew all this time, because we see the Doctor getting killed at the beginning of the season and Amy and Rory are keeping it from him, but a lot of secrets in this season, and then he looks at the screen and finds out about it and like says, oh, okay. So I think that was really interesting. So pretty important episode. Again, I don't think it's 100% makes sense, but I think it fixes a lot of things and kind of brings things to a close. It felt like that could have been the last episode of River, but Obviously, it didn't need to be, mm-hmm. but it kind of came full circle with the whole, he's now giving her the journal, and so she's off on her own adventures and everything.
Right.
It launches her as the River We Know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. Okay. Anything else about this one? I feel like we're skipping a lot, but I think
that's it.
Thanks for listening.